Hey, everybody. Glad to have you guys with us. This is the Valley Outdoors. You came to the right place. You're going to hang out. You're not leaving. You're not doing anything but listening to us for the next 30 minutes. It's going to be great. We've got Don, the co-host, that's normally absent, and he is absent, but he is at the SHOT Show. We're going to be talking with him about a lot of the cool things going on, what's happening on the range. He does have capability of accessing the firing range, which is awesome, which you don't get very often. So he's home on the range, as they say. We're going to be talking a little bit about what's going on with the ice fishing tournaments with the questionable weather, that and more. You're going to hang around. We'll be right back. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together we can make a difference.
Hey, Ava, what's going on?
You know, I am just here, ready to...
I am just here.
No, I'm excited. No matter where you are listening, you get to go to Las Vegas today with us.
Yep, a virtual Las Vegas trip.
How cool
trip.
Is that?
A virtual Vegas trip.
Did you notice we were not invited?
Oh, I was invited, but I chose not to go. I wanted
you
to hang around.
You could have lied and said, yeah, Ava.
I didn't want to make,
Ava
well,
was
I guess
not
I did make
invited.
It, yeah, Ava is not invited. No, you got a job to do here that's critical.
Yeah.
I can't have fun. Of course, I can't get out of it. Necessarily my either. So what do you do? So anyway, well, Don, we're going to be talking with him later in the show. We're going to be talking about what's going on in the range.
At the SHOT Show.
At the SHOT Show. Mm-hmm. And he's got some stats. I think it's as big, if not bigger this year than it has been. And we have some updates to post on Facebook. Got some photos that he sent to us already.
Yeah, video, which is cool.
And video.
And the cute dog.
Yep.
I'm sure we'll talk about the cute dog.
Probably talk a little bit about that. Yeah. So there's, the SHOT Show is a big deal. So kind of a...
What if Don Cleaver came home with a puppy from Vegas?
He'd probably need to find a bed at the station.
I don't think Judy would have...
No, the better half in that program would say...
You're staying in Vegas.
Car or some, don't bother coming home.
Right.
That's not a good thing. I think it'll be pretty cool. Next week, give you a little primer for next week. We have one of the tournament director for the National Walleye Tournament is coming to Red Wing. And there's been a lot of controversy in the limit or the I should say the limits that have been placed on that tournament. They had originally decided that they were going to limit the tournament to the Minnesota side only. A lot of controversy surrounding that. A lot of it had to do with past history this last year with some rulings that were unfortunate with anglers, and so a lot of things that came up. So they're going to be just getting us in tune with what's happening there. So that's going to be coming up. And they're actually making a decision. I had talked with the tournament director, Jeff Kelm, at length regarding that particular decision. So they're actually going to discuss maybe a different option. So if you're thinking of fishing the tournament and it kind of turned you off to say you're only fishing half of the waters.
Well, is this guy that we're talking to a fan or foe? Do we like him or do we not like him?
Oh, he's a decent guy. Well, you know, and it's a good point you bring up, and I can talk about it now. We talked at length. In that tournament director role, he has a company that operates it. He was basically voluntold. He really wanted to be a bump tank guy and an announcer on stage, which is what he does. And then he was voluntold that he is now the tournament director. Well, as a tournament director, you're basically under the rule of the company first and then the major sponsor, which in this case is Johnny Morris of Bass Pro Shops. So last year when there was controversies that we've already talked about, I needed to go on to that. We ad nauseum, we've talked about it. The rulings were made after the tournament was complete. So it wasn't Jeff that was actually making the decisions. He had to make decisions, or excuse me, he had to announce what the decisions were made from corporate.
So he's the messenger.
And you know what? You many times you get shot if you're the messenger, and that's the unfortunate aspect. So Jeff is a tournament fisherman. He used to be a tournament fisherman, and unfortunately placed into that position. You don't have much choice if you don't have all the information. So needless to say, it's unfortunate. You get into a tournament fishing situation with a director. We talked to Jason out in Lake Erie with that big cheating scandal that went on. We talked with him, and Jeff and Jason are friends, and they talk quite a bit, and they bounce each ideas off each other. And you have to, because it's a thankless job to be a tournament director. It really is. There's no win. And that's one role I would never, ever wish on anybody.
Sure.
You can't make the right call. If you make a decision, then someone's going to have a problem with it. So it really is one of those issues that comes up that, no thanks. But we're going to be talking with Jeff Kelm from the National Walleye Tour, not to get down in the weeds too far with it. So we're going to talk with him.
Feel bad for this guy that we're going to be talking
to. Yeah, but you know what? We're going to see what happens. I'm not sure what the decision is. And you know what? The fun part is, you guys will know when we're on air what's going to go on. And I don't mind calling a spade, and we're going to call a heart. If it's a good thing, we'll call it that too. So, speaking of tournaments, a lot of questions right now surrounding ice fishing tournaments in Minnesota. A lot of pushbacks going on right now because of how difficult the ice conditions have been. Of course, the DNR regulates permits for ice fishing tournaments and regulations for the events that are held on public waters. And, of course, that's the key there. And, of course, the DNR does not determine whether or not the tournament should be moved or canceled. And as of right now, the number of permits that they issued is about the same as it was last year. There are about 52 permits for this 2024 season. And one of them was already canceled, and there's others, and they go all the way out to March 9th. So I think what's going to be a telltale, and we'll get into the rest of it after the break, but I think there's some things that are coming up, and you'll see it once we start talking about this, that it could be a crazy, crazy year coming up for ice fishing as well as open water. So tell you what, we're going to be coming right back. We're going to talk with Don from the SHOT Show, and we're going to talk a little bit about the ice fishing as well, tournaments and good, bad, or indifferent, what's going to happen with those things. So stay tuned. More Valley Outdoors coming right up. Don't move. Welcome back, everybody. As always, I'd like to check you out on Facebook. And where else, Ava?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
We're going to have some updates coming everywhere from Don. He's got some photos. They're fun. He's going to be sending us more. We're going to post those up on Facebook page. And, of course, check us out on The Valley Outdoors when you can plug in to that interactive menu when it comes to the DNR website. So that'll be kind of cool. So speaking of a virtual tour of Las Vegas, a small corner, maybe like a tiny, tiny piece corner of Vegas. Don, our roving reporter, Don Cleaver, calling from the SHOT Show. What's going on, Don?
Well, we're enjoying now the third day of what's going on here in Vegas, or actually the fourth day.
I was going to say, it's four.
He doesn't even know what day it is.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, you get in, for those that are fortunate enough to get invited to the industry range day, you got to come in the day before and get all registered and everything, because that's your key to the door. And that's a pretty big event. I think I sent you a video on to give you an example of it. That doesn't show all of it, actually.
Of the range area, yep.
Right. I mean, you can't see over one of the hill. There's a whole bunch of displays down that. I mean, the whole event. I mean, something was unique this year, where typically what they do is they take all the media out to the range in the morning or in the AM part of the day, and then they bring out buyers from
right.
You know, the various retailers around the country, and they get to participate in the afternoon, and usually most of the media guys head back to town on the buses. Well, this year, the weather, I mean, it was looking to change in the afternoon to be more of a heavy rain, which is kind of odd to me for Las Vegas. But it, so they invited all the buyers to join the AM group. So we had, you know, almost double the crowd. And a lot of people didn't go because they thought it was going to get rainy. And it actually was really nice. I mean, it wasn't until about 1:30 did we start feeling just a little bit of a drizzle. So we got to participate. The winds were low compared to last year. You know, they were 35 gusts to 40. And as you know, I enjoy getting on the long range benches, which makes that really tough. So I had a different experience this year. I didn't shoot all of the firearms there because there were a lot of people, but I did have a chance to shoot a couple of unique weapons that I've never seen before. One is a company by it's called Horizon, and they make it's a hunting rifle, not an AR platform, but a regular hunting rifle, in a 22 PRC caliber. I literally walked by it twice, going, "I can't be right. I've never heard of such a caliber." They're the only manufacturer that makes this unique weapon. If you think of an a 17 HMR, it's a smaller rifle bullet. Well, I sent you the casing
right.
for it.
17 caliber, this one's 22.
This one's 22 with a rifle bullet in it. And I was, the guy in front of me was up shooting, and he was nailing targets at 1,100 yards. I go, "You've got to be kidding me. Was it 22? And so I was just asking the fellow in front of me, come to find out he's the owner of the company. And he walked me through the whole process. He did the spotting for me, gave me the windage and that type of thing. And I said, "I'll just go for the 950 targets." And I mean, when you're plinking at 950 with a 22 caliber, it's pretty impressive.
That's awesome.
And yeah, it is. I mean, the 200, they're shooting the eye of they got silhouettes out there like hogs. I mean, guys are shooting the eye of it.
That you know
so
that
I
and of course ahead. Don, one of the big things for me is if you're going to have the money, you want to go out and whether you're prairie dogging or you're going to go out and just spend the day on the range, the cost of it's not just the cost, it's the accessibility of a lot of these cartridges, and
right.
But cost is a big factor, and if you can plink them in long range and at a much less cost, that's a pretty decent offering.
Yes. Well, and what's unique about this manufacturer too, and they're just really nice folks. When he created this firearm, he also worked with Hornady, and they made the ammunition, and he's the exclusive dealer for it for 2 years. So when he sells a rifle, he's got the ammo to go with it. And so it's, I've bought an off caliber before and waited a year and a half to get ammunition for it. This when you buy the rifle, you can buy the ammo right with it when you do it. So, and they use it for, varmint hunting. I mean, he says we use it for deer hunting because you can be so accurate with it. I mean, you're dead on. You put the right glass on top of it. The other extreme to that, on the very end of the row of long range, you can see they had a Barrett set up there. And for those that don't know what that is, I'm going to go to the Barrett booth this afternoon, and I'm going to ask what's the purpose of this firearm, because I can't imagine what you would use it for. You sure wouldn't shoot an animal with it, because what you did is you got to sit down And the guys that are running this now have to be professional snipers.
Oh yeah.
And they walk you through and give you instruction how to get this thing on target at 1,100 yards. And she has some blowback to it. But I mean, they've got about a three foot steel target out there, 1,100 yards, with a red 12-inch target in the middle of it. And I'm happy to say I hit the red.
Nice.
And the spotter, I mean, you cannot see the target until you get your eye in the glass. And the spotter, he goes, you know, that's a nice shot. So, you know, then they give you the casing for it. So I sent you the picture of it so you can see the difference.
Well, you know what, Don, and the important thing is as soon as he says nice shot, you quit immediately and you walk away. Just say, all I needed was one shot. That's it.
Well, now I'm going to be honest. That's all they would give you. Do you have any idea what that ammo costs?
Oh, I wouldn't want to imagine. Well, and Don,
I'm guessing they're close to $10 a shot. So everybody got one shot. You either dinged it or you didn't. And then the next guy got to get up. So it was fun to shoot.
What brand was that?
Barrett.
It was a Barrett. Okay.
Yes.
So I guess one of the things comes up on those bigger calibers, oftentimes they will be – they're obviously in a military situation. They'll use them for, and this is some research I was doing on it, on a different type of weapon as well, but they'll use it for small, less armored vehicles. They'll shoot through the block, disable it from a long range. So that's kind of the focal point on that. And
it's more of a military weapon than it is a consumer weapon.
Absolutely.
And I mean, that caliber there was a 416. And I was talking to an ammunition booth this morning, and they go, that is really even a more deadly round than the 50 cal that they also offer, because they can get the velocity on it so much higher.
Yeah.
You take out an engine block, no problem at 1,100 yards. She's a ding.
It retains the muzzle. It retains the energy. And it can put it on target. I think the other thing that you find too is there's a lot of people out there that know a lot more about the ballistics than we do. But I do know that the transition is to a different caliber from the 50 and the sniper rifles. They're finding that there's some things they're doing with some other calibers that is working very, very well. It's making it a little bit more portable, but caliber situation is changing in that world as well. So kind of cool.
Well, I can tell you want to have your ear protection in when you're shooting that. You could tell every time that you could tell when on the anywhere on the range, you could tell when that rifle went off.
Cannon?
Yep.
So what was that the most interesting weapon on the range day?
Well, I mean, there were lots of them, of course. I mean, it's the remainder of the firearms. There were a lot of that were precision long range rifles of the more of the AR platform, you know, that configuration.
Yep.
They're literally long range target rifles is what they are. I was more interested in the hunting type rifles for long range. So I didn't get in the lines. I mean, the lines were, you know, you might have to wait 6, 8, 10 shooters just to get up there and shoot most of them. Most of them, they'd give you 3 to 5 shots, and some they'd give you even 2 magazines if you wanted. I mean, they're very, very good about it. You want to give other people a chance to pull the trigger on these unique weapons.
Well, Don, it seems, correct me if I'm wrong, but the trend on precision rifles is growing. In doing some research on that, I've seen quite a bit of that type of technology for the medium to long range, you know, if you're looking at the 600 plus yard range, and there's not a lot of ranges out there to shoot that, but they're growing.
Not for practice, no. Yeah, I mean, I don't know where, a 600 yard range is a pretty rare facility, so you hone it in at a shorter range, but it's just a matter, I mean, when I was shooting that 22 PRC, we shot targets starting at 200, and you just dial it up, you know, and based on the distance, they would have, I mean, at the furthest distance at 950, he just said, dial it up to 9.5 and give it a mil and a half to the windward side. And dang, I mean, it was pretty quick.
Well, and that's something that obviously you're getting first look at this, and the trend is going that direction. There's a lot more of the long range ranges that are coming into play. I'm looking at a lot of different articles, and a lot of the shooting sports magazines thought that was going to fade out. It's not. It's getting bigger and bigger, and I think you're prime point of that smaller caliber is going to help that.
It actually shows in the ammunition. When I just dropped by a booth here that, and looking at their list of new calibers that they're putting out, and it's amazing. They've now got, I mean, I own a 6.5 PRC, but now they got a 7mm PRC. More of them have the PRC behind it, which simply means a shorter shell with a, you know, more powder than a Magnum.
Right.
So, it shoots, it's, you know, their ballistics show that it shoots flatter and longer. So there's more of those that seem to be, you know, hitting the market.
And specialty rounds too. I think that's the big thing. So moving from the range, Don, what we're going to step off of the range for kick off the mud off the boots. Let's go inside. What do you see inside that really kind of tripped your trigger?
You know, it's, every booth, and keep in mind, there's 2,500 booths here. And it's overwhelming. And I had, in the night I kind of go in and I try to click off about six or seven that I want to try to go stop and talk to. And when I do, it's like, what's new? I mean, I just stopped at the federal booth this morning, and talked about, you know, range shooting for, like 22 caliber, the 30 super carry. They just came out with rounds that are less expensive. So if you want to go with the range and plink, I mean, if you go there with 9mm or anything bigger, you're spending some money if you shoot a box of ammo. Where now you can, if you've got a 22 or you can go out there and plink for a tenth of the cost. So I think that's what the some of the manufacturers look like they're bringing out right now. But it's just endless. I mean, I'll share some for future shows. We can talk a little bit about some of the things that are being developed. One of the things I want to do a little more research on here is all of the night vision changes that are coming. There's now digital and, you know, infrared. There's, you know, the heat thermal imaging.
Right.
So it's getting more complex. I talked to one manufacturer that's making a thermal image adapter that you can put right on the front of your existing scope. So if you got a 40mm scope, you can adapt a thermal image for night hunting right on your existing scope. You don't have to re-zero anything. And for daytime, you just take it off.
It just pulls in. It pulls in all the ambient light and lights it up. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, I've actually got, from some of the people I've talked to, I've already gotten emails back from them, you know, and hopefully we can maybe have them, you know, talk about it on the show sometime, because they're going to be a lot smarter about it than I am. So, with Coyote being, I just looked at trail cam while I was sitting here waiting for you guys to call. There's a coyote right out in front of my trail cam, big one.
Well, that's what's eating your deer.
Right. I got some nice deer photos too, which I'll share with you the next time I see you.
Nice.
Hey, Don, you shared a picture of a really cute Rottweiler puppy. Are you bringing a dog home with you?
Oh, wasn't he cute?
Yes.
You know, I'm literally, you know, like I say, there's so many booths, and this particular booth has, I don't remember what the brand was. They're making coolers.
Grizzly.
What you didn't see was right next to that was a big cooler with Daddy sitting in it.
Oh.
with goggles on.
Awesome.
He's got like flight goggles on, and if you notice, they've got kind of like a harness on them.
Yeah.
So you, I mean, you can pick that puppy up like a suitcase.
That's
funny. And I asked the gal that was in there. He says, "What? How do you keep him in there?" And she goes, "Beats me.
He just sits there.
We put him in there, and everybody's taking pictures of him."
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, he was a.
How old was he? Like 10 weeks old?
Oh, maybe. I mean, he's a pretty big boy for his age, I'm sure. He was sure fuzzy.
Yeah, he was cute. Yeah,
there's one gal couldn't stand it. She had to just pick him up and hold him.
That's funny. So, yeah. Don, your walking shoes are on. How many booths do you think you've been able to cover in the 3-4 days you've been there?
Oh, my goodness. I've probably really had conversations with about 20, between 20 and 24 booths out of how many?
2,500, like you said?
Yeah, yeah.
You best
there's
get 13, to walking.
There's 14 miles of aisles this year. So there are I think there's a few less booths here this year. I think it has to do with cost. I don't know. I haven't really gotten or seen a story yet, but I was talking to a manufacturer that firearm sales, you know, have slowed some. So, but a couple of the key manufacturers that, and I haven't even looked to see if they're here. I mean, you remember we did an interview with Chris Reeves Knives.
Yep.
I stopped by their booth, and the sign said they took the year off because their son was having him and his wife were bringing a child into the world this week. So they said, "See you in 25."
There you go.
Sounds good. Well, Don, yep. You be safe out there, and get some shoes on. I think you wore the other ones out. We'll be talking next week when you're back in here. SHOT Show 2024 from Las Vegas, Don. Thanks for joining us. We're the Valley Outdoors. We're going to be out of here for Don, Ava, myself, Eric. We are gone.